Morning Edition continues along with Colin Jackson. I'm Lisa Autry. Kentucky's June 23rd primary will be unlike any other in state history. The coronavirus postponed the election by 5 weeks, and Kentuckians are being encouraged to vote by mail rather than in person at their typical polling location. Secretary of State Michael Adams said in this pre-recorded interview the moves were not aimed at limiting voter participation.
We haven't taken anyone's rights away. We haven't suppressed votes. It's quite the contrary. We've made it easier to vote than it's ever been in Kentucky history. There are four ways to do so. People can vote in person in the usual hours, 6 to 6, in their counties. Obviously, we have many fewer locations available, as is necessary, because we had a number of our locations cancel on us, or otherwise they weren't amenable to social distancing. And most of our poll workers either wouldn't join up this year or canceled on us, and so we don't have the number of poll workers we need to have a traditional election. Number two, voters can vote in person early. Every clerk in the state now has early voting available, usually at the clerk's office. Locations differ depending on the county. But that helps us smooth out the crowds. We don't want to have crowded polling sites on Election Day. We're allowing voters to vote before Election Day to try to space out the throngs and not have people crowded too tightly. The third way to vote is to vote in person absentee, which sounds like a contradiction, but basically people can apply for their absentee ballot at govoteky.com or by reaching out to their county clerk. But the easiest way is to go to govoteky.com. We have you prove your identity, then we mail you a ballot. You can fill it out safely at home, and then you can personally drop that off at your clerk's office. The fourth way to vote is to mail it in. This is something that's not new to Kentucky. We've had mail-in balloting since 1945. It's actually in our state constitution. We're paying for the postage. You can go to govoteky.com, request your ballot. It'll be mailed to you, and then you send that back at no expense, and your vote counts the same as anyone else's. So we've made voting convenient. We've offered four ways to do it, and we've seen already a spike in turnout over 4 years ago and 8 years ago for those primaries.
You mentioned early voting that's underway in county clerk's offices. Under Kentucky law, you have to have a qualifying excuse to vote early. But in this election, is it open to anyone for any reason?
Well, the governor and I agreed that we were going to consider coronavirus a valid excuse. Right now, Kentucky law provides in cases of illness or medical emergency that a voter can vote early, can vote absentee ballot or vote early in person. He and I agreed that this is an emergency. This is a medical emergency. We're not going to require people to specifically prove that they have a particularized fear of transmission of coronavirus. I think we can all agree that this is a widespread phenomenon that everyone is at risk from. So we're not requiring people to demonstrate proof of an excuse. They are able to simply register online at govoteky.com and put in their voter registration information. We have to match that against what we have on file to confirm their identity. But we're not requiring people to particularly prove that there's a crisis. We're all aware of that.
As you mentioned, there will be in-person voting on Election Day, just like normal. But in most counties, there's only going to be one polling location. I want to get your response to a lawsuit that's been filed over the lack of polling locations, especially in the most populous counties.
Well, first off, there's not just one location in every county. Several counties have two, three, four, six. It varies by county. The counties that were sued yesterday were counties that just have one location, but it varies across the state. Number two, I didn't decide, nor did the governor decide, to have one location in each county that has one location. Those decisions are made by law by the county clerks and county boards of elections, with the consent of the State Board of Elections, which is three Democrats, two Republicans, who vote on those plans. I actually opposed some of those plans, but I was overruled. It's not my decision to make. However, I was sued along with Governor Beshear in the federal court on Monday. My position is this. I disagree with having only one location in large counties, including Jefferson, Fayette, Boone, Kenton, and Campbell, which were sued on Monday. I disagree with the policy decision of only having one location. I think we need more locations. On the other hand, I don't think this lawsuit's a good idea for two reasons. Number one, I don't think a federal judge should be deciding what our polling locations are. That's a decision to be made by a county clerk and a county board of elections who live in their county, who know how many poll workers they have available, what locations they have available. A federal judge is just not suited to make those types of decisions. Those are policy decisions that should be made by election officials, not by federal judges. And number two, even if the judge were to rule in favor of the plaintiffs against these counties, there's simply not time to go get locations. There's not time to find poll workers and to train the poll workers. It's a very simplistic approach, I think, to the problem we have. The problem we have really is that our poll workers have been either not re-upping or have been canceling on us. To give you one example, in Jefferson County, it takes 2,500 poll workers traditionally to run an election. We had 40 volunteers. The clerk got 40 volunteers, and that's after Governor Beshear and I twice extended the deadline to appoint poll workers. We just don't have people applying to be them, and you can't blame them. Most of our poll workers are senior citizens. They're the people most at risk from this virus. I'm glad that they're not volunteering in many cases. I don't want them threatened by this virus. So it's great to wave a wand and say we ought to have more locations, but the clerks are the people on the ground entrusted with these responsibilities, and they've determined it's just not feasible for their counties.
And I guess many of the polling locations that would otherwise be open are closed because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, let me give you an example. In Kentucky, we generally have about 3,700 polling locations, but a lot of those locations are nursing homes. That's not going to work. Some 60% of the deaths from coronavirus in Kentucky have been at nursing homes. We can't let the public into nursing homes. We can't even, at this point, under the governor's order, let relatives of the residents into the nursing homes. So we can't have these locations open up for the general public to traipse in, healthy or not, with masks or not, for 12 hours. It's just not feasible. Same thing goes for churches and schools. A lot of them still remain closed. Very few of them have opened, and of those that have opened, they're only letting in a small proportion of people in the case of churches. They're not able to have regular services yet. They're telling most of their parishioners, their congregants, to stay home. So it's just not feasible to have election day in those locations and just have the general public walking through for 12 hours. That's why the governor and I both have been encouraging people to vote absentee if they possibly can. We have maintained in-person voting as an option. It's not a best choice, though. It's one that's guaranteed by our state constitution, so I've preserved it. But it really is intended for people who need to vote in person. I'm hoping that people will vote absentee if they can. It's going to take a lot of pressure off our poll workers.
One of the things the lawsuit argues is that having a minimal number of polling locations could disenfranchise voters and lead to less participation. But on the other hand, do you expect a larger voter response given that you've expanded options for voting?
Well, certainly neither Governor Beshear nor I has ever wanted to suppress anybody. We've gone way out of our way to ensure that voting is easier, more convenient, and safer than before. I don't think there's going to be suppression or disenfranchisement. And I can tell you that based on the fact that our numbers for turnout are actually higher than they've been in comparable cycles. We've already had more people either apply for a ballot or go ahead and cast their ballot as of right now with 2 weeks left to go and no one voting on election day yet than we had total turnout in the last two elections at this time, presidential primary time. So turnout is actually going up significantly. And I think that's due to the fact that the governor and I have made voting easier in these circumstances. So no one's being suppressed. There's four ways to vote. If someone doesn't want to wait in line for 5 or 6 hours on election day, they shouldn't. They don't have to. There's several other ways for them to vote and be heard.
Any turnout predictions at this point?
I don't have any specific number to give you at this point. It's still too premature. The postcards are still landing. People are still applying. I'll have a better sense of that as we get closer to the election. But here's what I can tell you. I'm very, very confident we're going to have higher turnout in 2020 than we had in 2016 or 2012 in those presidential primaries. Much, much, much higher. We've actually got some counties that have already had more requests for ballots than they had total votes cast at all. That's pretty significant because even if not a single other person were to request a ballot and no one showed up on election day, we'd still have higher turnout than 4 or 8 years ago. That's pretty impressive.
Is this election going to serve as a template for the November election?
That's something that the governor and I also have agreed on. We've said that we should watch how things go in June and learn some lessons. We've asked Kentucky for patience as we pivot to a different sort of model than we've ever had before. We did it out of necessity. But we're going to see what works and what doesn't. We're going to see how the absentee balloting goes and how the in-person balloting goes, and we're going to learn from those lessons for November. We may not change anything for November. We may change different things for November. It's got to be a joint decision. Under the law, both he and I have to agree to whatever change is made from whatever the default is, which would be a traditional election. But he and I have always been very upfront publicly and privately about that. Let's see how it goes, and let's take what works and use that going forward.
We should mention that this coming Monday, June 15th, is the deadline to request an absentee ballot. What else do you want voters to know?
We have to have a cutoff at some point, because if we take absentee ballot requests until the end, they're not going to go out in time and be returned in time for the vote to count. So we've got a hard cutoff of next Monday at 11:59 p.m. That's for people to request their absentee ballot. That's not for them to return their absentee ballot. So a cutoff of 8 days before Election Day allows time for the ballot to be mailed out by the clerk and then returned in person or by mail by the voter. We're accepting ballots that are cast up to Election Day. They can be hand-delivered or they can be mailed postmarked on Election Day. And if they're received in the mail by June 27th, the following Saturday, we'll count them. If they're postmarked June 23rd or earlier. But we do encourage voters to go ahead and get those requests in and not have a big rush at the end. We also urge voters, once they get their ballot, go ahead and cast it. Go ahead and send it back or hand deliver it back, because the longer it takes us to get these absentee ballots returned, the longer it takes us to count the votes. And it could be days or even a week before we know the winners in these races if we have a big rush of ballots mailed on Election Day.
Given that absentee ballots will be coming in after Election Day, will we be getting any results on election night?
Well, there will be some results on election night, but here's how we're doing it. The counties run the elections in this state. I don't run them from Frankfort. The counties are making their own decisions at the local level about what they're going to release. Some counties are going to release all the results they have, which is to say all the absentee ballots they've received as of Election Day, plus all the in-person voting before and on Election Day. In most counties, I think most rural counties, that's going to be the vast, vast majority of votes. And they may be comfortable announcing those results, even though they're not fully complete. There could be some more ballots coming in, because I think in those counties, most ballots will be in. But in other counties, especially urban counties, disproportionately, those counties are voting absentee. Fayette, for example, my guess is 2/3 of the vote, maybe more, will be cast absentee. Maybe higher than that, maybe 3/4 or 80%. And those may be mailed in at the last minute. So it may take certain counties, especially the urban counties, longer to count their votes just because they receive them later. So it's a county-by-county decision. Some counties are going to announce results election night, even though they're incomplete. And some counties are waiting until every single vote is received before they announce anything at all.
Secretary of State Michael Adams, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Anytime.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry.